T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Where are you right now, Rob? Are you allowed to tell us?
Am I allowed to tell you? I'm in my on my back deck. Why?
No.
Are you in like a flyover area?
I hear either planes or lawnmowers.
Yeah, I was trying to get away from a noise, guys. I'm sorry.
That's a lawnmower if I ever heard one. That sounds that's lawnmower.
That's Rob's happy place. Rob says he finds solace or some kind of right, isn't
well, yeah, I figured that if I'm going to be on the air with Mueller, I should try to go somewhere where I'm going to be calm because he's probably going to ask me something about like Hines Ward or Antonio Brown or Antonio Gates or whatever football question's on his mind. Mm. And I'd be happy to entertain him to talk about the NBA, but if we're going to talk hockey, I figured since Mueller has been frustrating me lately on these terms, I should go somewhere where it's calm and soothing.
Yeah, I'd like to have my interviews with you in a place where I'm calm and soothed, but then you'll just do the exact same and piss me off, Rob.
Well, that's true, too. Here's the difference between me and everybody else.
You don't care?
I'm perfectly happening, ruining situations in any dynamic.
Well, you're so familiar with it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. All right, enough.
All right, so you wrote that article about the friendship between Malkin and Crosby. You just alluded to it. Where is Malkin's head going into these playoffs, Rob?
Well, firmly connected to his shoulders, and by that I don't mean to be flippant. I think he's very realistic about where he's at in his recovery, where he's at in his comfort. I don't think Evgeny would say this publicly, but I think he would tell you this isn't the 100% Evgeny Malkin that the Penguins are getting. It's closer than he thought it would be probably when that knee was injured a second time or tweaked a second time a week ago, but look, it's going to be I think it's going to be into this series before we see Evgeny at peak Evgeny form. And that's going to be hard anyway against this particular team and their defensive structure. But I think the fact that he's on the ice and he's in a position where he's going to be dangerous enough that the Islanders have to account for him and Kasperi Kapanen, and that way they really don't have the resources that they would want to devote to, say, the third line. I think that's a good place for the Penguins, but it could be better.
Well, yeah, that was sort of what I was going to ask, or in the vein of what I was going for here, Rob. How do you rate the Islanders as a team that Evgeny Malkin, trying to get fully healthy, has to go against, with how structured they are, with how the whole kind of MO there is to try to frustrate more talented opponents, at least offensively, into making mistakes and then counterpunching them? Because I'm as big a Malkin fan as anybody not named, I don't know, you or I don't know.
His parents,
right? I love watching the guy play. I've always preferred watching him play to Crosby, just, you know, in that Beatles Rolling Stones kind of way. But I do feel like it's fair to wonder whether or not he would be more easily frustrated than most in this kind of series.
You know, Chris, I think that's a logical presumption. I'll go the opposite way. I get the sense that even though I think the Islanders are a tougher draw for the Penguins and a lot of people in Pittsburgh want to concede, in a way, because they're so defensive structured, because Barry Trotz has gone against Sullivan and Malkin and Crosby so many times, Malkin knows what he's going to expect, and he also knows what his limitations are. And so I think that will probably lead to a less of a likelihood that he's going to try to get frustrated and do things on his own. Look, he senses this team has an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup. He knows that every opportunity they have going forward is one less opportunity he'll have in the future. just because of his age. And he's not going to want to try to play hero hockey here. And I think if you ask Evgeny again in a private moment, he'd say his job is to help them get past this round so that he has a chance when they need him maybe in the next round or a round after that, when they might have to score more goals to be that type of impact player. So I guess I'm looking at it a bit askew here, but that's just the way I feel it's going to go as the series goes on.
Would you say the same thing about Letang?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I think this series is going to be very nerve-wracking for Penguin fans early. I think the Islanders are, you know, I don't bet, but if I were to bet, I'd probably bet on the Islanders Sunday. Combination of the time off and the fact that it's a noon start and the Penguins don't play well in the afternoon and they're playing that team and that coach that know what they're going to do, I think it's a real tough game one for the Penguins. But I kind of see this series being even after four games, and then I think once you get to that point, the team with the veterans and the better players who have been there is favored, and I think that team is the Penguins. But I expect this to be a long series. I think it's going to be a seven-game series, and I think there's going to be a lot of, like I said, nervous moments. But I think in the end, cumulatively, the likes of Letang and Malkin and Gensel and Rust and Crosby will be the difference. But it might not look that way early.
If Anders Lee was healthy, would you pick the Islanders to win?
If Anders Lee was healthy, I think the Islanders might have won the division. I think they're the only team in the division that has the depth of the Penguins. I think they're the only team in the division that's coached as well as the Penguins are. I don't know that their goaltending is better, but it's certainly more proven in the playoffs. At least it has more playoff experience.
What about the angle of them having broken Varlamov a little bit from that perspective?
Yeah, like they did with Bobrovsky so many years ago, yeah. Rossi.
Well, right. That's what I mean. I think it's probably safe to say look at the matchup and give a slight edge to the Islanders because they've got a guy that's been there before, but just being there before doesn't necessarily mean you've been there and done well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the concern I have is because of Casey DeSmith's situation, let's not forget, he was injured at the end of the regular season. Now he's trying to come back and, you know, gets again a little bit of a bump here in one of the final practices. And Tristan Jarry started one playoff game. They don't have a lot of experience at the position. So, I think that has to be a concern. That doesn't mean that it's not going to work out in spades. I mean, goalies with limited experience have won the Stanley Cup actually more often than we think. But it's tough to look at that matchup and say, I think it favors the Penguins right now, at least going into the series.
Do you think that Mike Sullivan is the better coach in this series? God bless you.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. It's a good question. I think Mike Sullivan's done a better job this year. Mm-hmm. I would say they're probably even. I think both of them have a style that they want to play. I think both of them have a great way of communicating with players. I think both of them make more adjustments than they're given credit for. And, you know, both of them have their hardware. It's a fascinating matchup. I think it's, 10-13 Sullivan is against Trotz. You know, the bulk of those wins came in those two series against the Capitals. A lot of those were close games. Really, the sweep with the Capitals or the Islanders and the Penguins, the games were close. I mean, this is really a stylistic matchup. I think the reason the Penguins did better this regular season was, A, they didn't force the issue as much to play into the Islanders' hands, and, B, everybody talks about scoring first. Actually, if you look at the season series, the first goal was 4-4, right?
Do you think Sullivan will actually use last change, or is he going to take the Bylsma approach, I'll just send the guys over the boards and the hell with it?
I don't think he'll take the Bylsma approach. I don't know that he'll necessarily try to get a certain forward matchup against a certain defense pairing, but I think there are going to be times where he tries to get certain defense pairings out against forwards of the Islanders. I think you'll probably see Letang and Dumoulin out there as often as Sullivan can against Barzell's line, but I just think when you look at these two coaches, I mean, where's the history to suggest this is going to be anything but a close game that's going to be decided on a few things. I will say this. The Penguins did a really good job this year of getting the lead going into the third period or early in the third period. And when you do that against the Islanders, it makes them a lot more average than they might be otherwise. And I know that sounds obvious, but they are really not built to come back. And I think that's why the Penguins had success this year. And because the Penguins are defending better with the lead this year, I think that could allow them to maybe take control of this series early. But I really do think this was the toughest matchup they could have going in.
Whoa! Did you hear that one, Malzi?
Yeah, I mean,
harder than Boston.
Well, I was inferring that from what he was saying about them, that he had it going seven, that he, with Anders Lee healthy, he might have thought they were going to win the division. That was kind of the guess I was making. If you think they're better equipped, although you know you said it's going to be a close series and a nail biter and a tough one for Penguins fans who get indigestion easily, maybe watching the team play, is it philosophy on the Penguins' part? Is it personnel, one more than the other, that you think makes them better equipped to avoid the kind of ugly embarrassment that happened against the Islanders in 2019? Like, what is it about the Penguins that you think is most different then to now that's going to work in their favor here?
Well, I think it's two things, but they're part of the same thing. One, they have gone through the last two postseasons. I know that this is a very motivated bunch to prove that not only is their window not closed, but that it should be kept open. And they know a lot depends on how the first round goes, given the first round the previous two seasons. Two, I do think one of the reasons the Islanders have struggled this year, in addition to the Anders Lee injury, which was enormous, is they've played a lot of hockey. You know, they went to the conference final last year. They played Tampa Bay tough. Everybody says, yeah, they got a big break, but not as big a break as everybody else. And I think that's why you saw them wear down a little bit. So I think those two factors are probably what leads me to think the Penguins win this series. I wouldn't be surprised if it was six, but that's a tough building to close out a series in. So I'm going to say seven. But I just think the Penguins are a smarter, more mature team going into this postseason than they have been in a long time. And I think they feel a sense of desperation, maybe that's not the right word, a sense of urgency, similar to what they did in 16, when it was like, this is a real opportunity, let's not waste it.
Better fourth line.
Yeah, they have a better fourth line, a better third line. They have
now, who has a better fourth line, the Penguins or Islanders?
Oh, who has a better fourth line? Oh, boy. I'll say the Penguins.
No.
Do you even consider the Clutterbuck-Cizikas line?
I'm really high on Teddy Bluger.
Do you even consider the Clutterbuck-Cizikas line to be their fourth line?
It is now with Pageau and Palmieri on the third
line. I know,
line.
But they play. We've gone over this, though. They play such similar minutes, and they don't treat them like an actual fourth line. I feel like that's like their most important
line. They treat
line.
All four lines almost equally, with the exception of the Barzal line.
I would argue
line.
That the Clutterbuck line is their most important line. Didn't Peter Schwartz, WFAN, say that it's their identity line?
He did. That's what Trotz calls
that's
it.
Everything that they think that they are wrapped up into one line.
Yeah,
well, look, you're right. They have basically the Barzal line and then three co-equal lines.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Penguins, they have a line that wants to go out there and set the tone. For the Penguins, that line's the Crosby line. But I think for the first time that these teams have played in recent memory, the Penguins have something that they haven't had, which is quality depth at forward. And the other thing the Penguins have that could be problematic for the Islanders is Tampa exposed this last year. And this, I can't believe I'm saying this because I've been hard on them this year, but presuming Mike Matheson's healthy, the Penguins can move the puck better than at any point they have been able to really since 16 and 17.
Yep.
And when they move the puck that way, not only does it let Sullivan's system work, it has proven to be an Achilles heel against Barry Trotz's teams. And I trust that will play out, presuming the defense stays healthy in this series as well.
Better musician, Elton John or Billy Joel?
Elton John, not even close.
Hold on.
No, I'm not saying I'd prefer to see Elton John in concert. But Elton John's a better musician. Come on.
Ben Folds or Elton John?
Billy Joel.
Oh, what? Unbelievable.
No, I would say, I would actually say as a musician, Ben Folds is better than Billy Joel. But Billy Joel puts on a better concert than the two of them.
So you think Billy Joel's a better entertainer is what you're telling us?
Well, he is the entertainer. You know, that's what he am.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't he married to Christie Brinkley for a while?
He also drove his car through somebody's house.
She also is the best person I've ever been behind the line in at a New York Islanders game for a media meal.
Christie Brinkley?
I told you Billy Joel was an Islanders fan.
Well,
Billy Joel has a banner on the island.
So we were trying to figure what? He has a banner on the island?
I'm in the in the Coliseum.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure that out. Who did they have famous fans? And Dan Potash texted me and said Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, is a giant Islanders.
So now we know who Cabali drew for in this series.
Cabali just laid $500 on the Islanders.
The Karate Kid. Ralph Macchio's a farce, but no, Billy Joel in New York is probably the biggest star musician in New York in terms of rock. I mean, he's bigger than Springsteen, certainly on Long Island, and probably even at the Garden. He's a god up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Springsteen crushes New Jersey, huh?
Oh yeah.
Well, Springsteen swamps of Jersey in the Garden, but. I'll put it to you this way, like, if they were co-headlining, Billy Joel's name would go on the marquee first based off fans.
Somebody told me they saw Billy Joel and Elton John play a show together. Who's the headliner there? Is it a straight co-headlining
thing?
It
has to be.
There's no way you can put one above the other.
I don't think you can.
Well, Elton would tell you it would be him, probably, I would guess.
It's like Pony and Muller. You can't put one ahead of the other.
Oh, I think people have, and I think I know who it is, and deservedly so.
I'd say it's definitely Kreger's.
We don't think he likes that name.
No, he doesn't like being called Kreger's, Rob. He thinks it's demeaning.
Well, I don't like being this handsome and talented. We all have our burdens to bear.
All right, Rob, enjoy the game on Sunday. What time does it start?
It starts at noon, which means after a week of Penguins not playing and the Islanders coming to town, if you're looking to fall asleep, noon would be the time to tune in.
Wouldn't you be tuning in then at 12:45 when the game actually starts?
Yeah, well, look. I will say this about the NHL. I keep thinking that they can't possibly screw anything up more, but the position they've put their teams and their fans in by delaying the release of times of these games and not really giving any guidance on how they should proceed after the announcements of the past 2 days is, I'd say, shameful, but it's basically typical National Hockey League. There's a reason they're number 7 among the 4 sports. Don't ever forget that.
Vegas over Pittsburgh in the Cup Final?
No, Vegas is going to lose in round one.
Dun, dun, dun.
I also think the guy's going to make a mistake and go with Lehner at some point in that series.
We'll come back to a pro Fleury take ultimately.
Do you want me to give you my final four?
Yes.
Okay. The final four, the winner of the West Division will be the Colorado Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the North Division will be the Edmonton Oilers. The winner of the Central, is that what they're calling it?
Yes.
Central, whatever, will be the Carolina Hurricane, and the winner of the East will be the Penguins. And let's see, that would be Avalanche.
Oilers, Hurricanes, Penguins.
Yeah, he's trying to do the reseeding, though.
Yeah, so we're going to have a
Pittsburgh
Avalanche final, and I would have to think about that one.
All right, we'll let you do that, Rob. Bye now.
But Jeff Carter's going to be the Conn Smythe if you need me to give you a hint of where I'm leaning.
Mm.
So Rob did just call an exceptionally difficult first-round series.
Yep.
And then the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup, right?
Yes, he also picked them to do that last year, and they lost to the Canadiens in 4.
He's been remarkably consistent about saying they would win the Cup, though, this year from day one.
Yep.
I think Gentile might be on driving that bus, too.
Well, where is Gentile?
You asked that like you're expecting him to be somewhere.
I need an answer on him, on his whereabouts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.